Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There is no better group of plants for flower power than forms of the shrubby potentilla.
Hello and welcome to This Week in the Garden. I'm Peter Seabrook, here to help with some of your gardening quandaries. This week, I'm joined by a real expert in the trade, a former manager of the Chelsea Flower Show, and a journalist and lecturer within horticulture. It's Alex Denman. I'll be asking Alex about her involvement in the Royal Windsor Rose and Horticultural Society show, coming up in just under a month. My thanks to Sutton Seeds of Torquay, sponsors of this podcast, and to Charlie Jones, our producer. Wonderful weather this week. Yeah, I could do with a night's rain, but in another incredibly busy week at BBC Gardeners World Live, we built a stand 10 metres by 10 metres and 4.6 metres high, and up and down the steps of that pyramid made me realise that I still had muscles in my thighs and could hardly walk the next morning. 1,100 2-litre plants, and you know, the most you could take up would be two at a time, and then at every other step, they needed to be screwed into the timber, and so my fingers were pretty sore too. Why do we do these things? But it was a tremendously successful show. The exhibitors at BBC Gardeners World Live Birmingham tell me that it was way better than Hampton Court now, and they had a really successful show. 30-odd wheelbarrows from schools growing vegetables and herbs. The show gardens, too, are of a style and a size which is much more appropriate to the home gardeners. And, of course, there are plenty of talks and demonstrations right through. That Gardeners World Live has had the new life breathed into it. On the news front today, a report from Dorchester-on-Thames, where I spent a very pleasant, sunny Sunday afternoon visiting 15 open gardens in their open garden weekend, raising money for the Abbey. Do you know, it is fascinating to see how different people's approach to gardening is. We started off in a really big and luxurious Chelsea Flower Show designer type garden, which really was spectacular. The drive up to the house was lined by, I think it was 50 pyramid-shaped box, about 2 feet or so high, and then between them, 10 box balls in two great lines each side of the drive. I wouldn't want the job of trimming them, I tell you. Boy, that'd take some time. I mean, commercially, they have a machine which just drops down a round box and cuts in a perfect ball. But to trim those by hand once they're planted is really quite tricky. So I wish them every success. In the beds behind the house, then it was very much designer style, with purplish plum-coloured roses, all of the purple flowers backed by mostly light green foliage, very effectively done. And then in a tiny garden, there was an interesting collection of containers, and I was pleased to see how they've started to colour coordinate the containers. They were all in those bright glazed blue style and appropriately planted too. I saw an urn with Ophiopogum, that's the black good ground cover grass, and in the middle one pot of really bright red flowering gerbera in the sweet series. Goodness, it looked like flames coming out from the coals. It really is quite interesting what people do with their gardens. And I have to say, the roses everywhere were absolutely perfect. We must have picked it almost to the day. Some really stunning climbers. And I think of all of them, Compassion, on the west side of one house wall, was the best of them all. That's a lovely rose, nicely fragrant. You can cut them and bring them indoors as cut flower. And of course, they will flower right the way through the summer season. In the garden trade news, I'm always interested to see their plant bestseller chart. And one has just dropped on my desk, which has the top 20 best-selling plants for 2017-18. And I really don't understand it, because number one top seller is Pelargonium, followed by Primula. I mean, that's the little primroses, I suppose, which really boost that right the way through the winter months. And then Cyclamen, and down to Pansy. But a bit lower down, I can see there's Viola too. And if you put those two together, the Viola and the Pansy, then I think they would begin to compete with the Pelargonium. I must get to Trevor Pfeiffer in again. He's the chap who compiles this list, and I'm not sure whether it's compiled from the number of plants sold or for their value. So I must get that sorted out. There's a tremendous number of lavender sold, for example, and that comes way down on the list, even below things like Narcissus and Lobelia. And so I think it must be by number rather than value, because lavenders will sell at a slightly higher price than many of these winter, spring and summer flowering annuals. And when it comes to seasonal advice, on the pansies and violas, late July is a good time to sow them. That last week in July or the first week in August. And the same goes for spring cabbage. Although with the cabbage, you sow it late July if you're going to transplant them. If you're going to sow them and leave them where you sow them to crop, then it's early August that you need to do the sowing. And with spring cabbage, I like to see them about 9 inches apart in the row come September or October, because then you can cut alternative ones for spring green and leave the rest to heart up properly.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
I'm very pleased today to introduce Alex Denham. Alex and I have known one another for several years. She was at one time, I believe, a horticultural lecturer. She then worked on the Royal Horticultural Society magazine, The Garden, and I suppose most significant for me, was a former manager of the Chelsea Flower Show, and is now giving her green-fingered and magic touch to the Royal Rose and Horticultural Society show at Windsor. Is that all right, Alex?
That's perfect, Peter. Thank you.
Yeah. Now, I only just caught up with the idea that you lectured in horticulture.
Yeah. So I was passionate about gardening as a child. Never knew that I could actually have a career in it until my mum and dad said, when I think I was 17, they said, well, you could go to university to do horticulture. And, well, that set the cat amongst the pigeons at school. What, go and do horticulture? What was that? You know, a degree in digging. But I did, and I went to Reading University, and I had this fantastic 3 years. But the element that perhaps was most significant for me was my sandwich year, which was in the Royal Landscape at Windsor, the Sutherland Valley Gardens. And it was there that I had a real grounding in plants and growing, which was just fantastic.
I mean, did you work under the great John Bond?
I did.
Alex.
I
fancy that.
The most special. I was a Bond girl, Peter. I was a Bond girl. There were three apprentice gardeners, and I was one of the Bond girls. And he was the most erudite, he was the most knowledgeable gentleman, and he was from the older era. So we all, you know, pulled our socks up and did and tried our hardest. And at the beginning, I was weak and feeble, but by the end, you know, I was a strong gardener and I had learned a huge amount from the great man. So, yes, I was very, very fortunate.
I'm pleased to hear that, and it explains all kinds of things to me. Yes, anybody who'd spent a year under yes. John Bond. Goodness gracious.
Standards.
Yeah, try it.
Yes.
Yeah. And if you do have a foundation like that in horticulture, gives you so much strength and confidence, Alex, doesn't it?
Well, I think that's it, and it's having that practical experience with the degree for me was a great start. And to have those names behind you. And that's why I think education to the highest level in horticulture is still essential. And it's such a shame that at universities now there aren't the places available, because I think it does give you a great grounding. And I think it gives you great confidence as well in what you can go on to do.
Yeah. But well, then let's bring you right up to date.
Yes.
And talk about this exciting schools campaign, which you're masterminding in the Windsor area.
Yes. So we've had, well, through yourself, we've had this wonderful opportunity. When I spoke to you about creating a schools competition for the show, you really stepped up to the mark. And there I was thinking I was just asking for advice. And then you went out to these wonderful sponsors that we've got. So B&Q, Scott's Miracle-Gro, and the Scott's Company, and, of course, Thompson & Morgan. And those three sponsors have really set us on our path, because they've given us the opportunity to go out to 9 different schools in the borough. Some of those schools are already doing gardening, some are not. And of course, rather than having to go to the committee to ask for monies and fundings, they have got this lovely opportunity. And of course, it's been great for me too, because I'm going out to see young people. I have 2 young children myself who love gardening, but to see other children's lives being touched by this wonderful, at this point, hobby, but potentially career in the future, is just fantastic. So I think we'll probably have touched maybe, I don't know, 300 children through doing this. And then, of course, when those wheelbarrows in all their glory come to the flower show to be judged by your good self, then so many more children will see it as well. And so really, my passion for this show is really challenging how we live our lives and this whole mental health issue that we've got going on, and encouraging children to understand how our plants grow and taking responsibility for them and seeing them thrive. And I think it gives them great confidence, Peter.
Well, when we visited the Bishopsgate School, I thought that really was an eye-opener. A little triangular plot, well, couldn't have been more than, 4 metres by 4 metres, just tucked in a corner. Had some really fantastic vegetables and herbs, quite apart from the wheelbarrow alongside.
Yes. And that's what comes from, that is a teacher, that's Miss Fenimore, that's a teacher who hasn't got any horticultural advice, direct knowledge. She's not been trained in horticulture, but she sees the benefit that the children get out of it. It shows them that path, they grow it in the school beds with the teacher, and then they have great pride in taking it to the kitchen, and it's served in the kitchen that day. And as you say, from such a small pot, Peter, what a revelation to the children, and I think to the teachers as well, what can be achieved and the pride that children can have in a simple thing as growing a little gem lettuce.
Yes, because when we do go to a school, you need just one person, don't you?
Yes.
If there isn't that one person to keep an eye on watering at the weekend, to just watch things and make some arrangements over the holidays, it can be really disappointing and frustrating for youngsters. But that one person, they can really set the world alight.
Yes, and do you know what? We saw that in each school, didn't we? We went to three schools on Friday, and we saw that in every school, there was just one person who could make the difference.
Yeah.
And it's those children will remember that teacher with such fondness. And I bet that, you know, that happy memory will create happy times in the future as well.
Well, I think it was St. Peter's.
Yes.
The thing that interested me, I'm always poking about, you know, going round the backs of compost bins and things, and when I opened the shed door, all the children's tools were washed, were clean, and hung up neatly.
Yes.
Boy, that's a great lesson to put to youngsters.
Yes. You look after your tools, put them away, you know, have respect for things that are in your domain to respect, and that's it. And that came from a teacher that had no previous knowledge of gardens, just knew the benefit that it gave to children.
What enthusiasm he had.
Oh, yes.
Goodness.
And he did that all off his own back. There was no other support in the school at that time, and he saw the opportunity. He got a group together, and the thing I loved most was the two head gardeners who came to greet us at the front door, and the pride that they had in showing us their past results and giving us strawberries to eat, Peter.
Well, now, strawberries appear to be quite a popular crop, don't they? I think we had strawberries at all three gardens, didn't we?
Yeah. It's amazing that there were any left, to tell you the truth, with children hanging around.
But, I work with a school just local to home, and we have a raised bed full of strawberries. And a number of them were ripe, and we left a message that the children should pick some of these strawberries. We sent, I think, a seed tray heaped up into the kitchen.
Oh, great.
And when I went back that evening, boy, had the children been at that bed.
Not too many left.
It looked as if the elephants had been through it, you know. some enthusiasm.
That's
yes.
It.
Now, can you tell us a little bit more about the Windsor Show? I mean,
yes.
It's held within the shadow of Windsor Castle, isn't it?
It is the most magnificent of settings. The Royal Windsor Rose and Horticultural Society's annual show, the summer show, is held in St. George's School, actually, which is the chorister's school for the castle. And we're very lucky because we have these beautiful walls, grounds that we are allowed to use. And so we have two marquees. We have the main floral competition marquee, which actually anybody is open to enter as long as you're an amateur. And we'd love to see some more entries going into that if you're local.
Am I allowed to enter a fruitcake?
Oh, yes.
You know, because
you're an amateur in
I'm
that
I'm an amateur, aren't I?
You're an amateur in that category,
pardon?
Peter. Yes.
I'm having to learn very quickly to cook in old age.
And there's photography as well, so perhaps you can do a couple of those.
Well, I get paid sometimes for photography, so yes, I'd have to be careful about that. Yes.
And so we've really taken on two big themes for the show. We're celebrating the RAF 100 theme, in part because we have the RAF Memorial up at Runnymede, which forms a nice part of the day. You can come to the show and perhaps go up to the Runnymede Air Force Memorial as well. And also, Sir Sidney Cam was a Windsor boy, and he designed the Hurricane, of which there's a life-size model on the banks of the Thames just in Windsor. So we're celebrating that with NAFAS clubs, that's the flower arranging clubs, depicting that per adua ad astra, through adversity to the star. So they're creating these wonderful large displays. And then it goes through the entire marquee, from cake decoration to cushion making.
But before you leave the flower arranging,
yes,
doesn't something special happen to one of those arrangements?
Oh, yes, how right you are. So each of those floral clubs has also been asked to create a basket of flowers for Her Majesty the Queen's breakfast table. And Her Majesty is our patron, and so every year we're very lucky to be able to send one of the baskets up to Her Majesty, and apparently she very much appreciates the effort that's gone into them. So yes, a rather large prize, I would say.
Indeed, yes. I hope they remember to include a few sweet-scented stocks. If my grapevine is correct, they always plant East Lothian stocks under the window. When they go to Balmoral, there's a bed of East Lothian stocks.
East Lothian.
Yeah, under the window. And so I rather gather that the fragrance of stocks is quite a favourite of Her Majesty the Queen.
I might have to slip that across to the clubs and see what they can do with it.
But then you've got some special chefs and chocolate makers too, haven't
we? We do. And we're very blessed. The society is relatively small, but it has a wonderful following. And we're very blessed to have two sets of chefs that are passionate about their profession, but also about imparting their knowledge. And we've got this activity corner at the show this year. I will be doing a seed sowing station. We'll then have your growing station with all the wheelbarrows, Peter. And then we have the Caldesis. Katie and Giancarlo Caldesi are chefs and teachers of cookery. They have restaurants in Marylebone and Bray. And they are also passionate, being great Italian chefs, at that crossover between the growing and then what we do next with it. And they use a huge amount of herbs in Tuscan cooking, where Giancarlo is from. And so they will be doing demonstrations on taking the produce and how to use it to create these wonderful dishes for the summer. So we're very blessed with that. And then a very, very special opportunity is to sample a Mark Tilling. He actually won the Great British Bake Off, the professionals. It was called Crème de la Crème, and he won that in its first year. And he will be designing an afternoon tea in a box, and it's this great surprise when you open it, and it's this wonderful afternoon tea, which can all be pre-booked on our Eventbrite page, which is, if you put in Windsor, you'll find our summer show all recorded there for you to buy tickets.
Well, it's going to be quite a day. Can you fix the weather for us?
Oh, that's what I need, Peter. That's what I need. I was going to ask you. I think you're higher up. So please could you fix the day, because that's what we need. But fortunately, we've got the school buildings as well, so there's lots of cover if we need it. But it's going to be a very exciting day. We've got some wonderful people from the world of horticulture as well. So Rosie Hardy, yourself, Ian Drummond from the Indoor Design Company. So there's an awful lot going on.
Alex, thank you very much both for your enthusiasm and all you're doing, and very much look forward to meeting up at that wonderful show. We didn't give the date, I don't think.
Oh, no. It's Saturday, the 14th of July, from 11 till 5, and there is parking opposite on the rugby pitches.
Yeah. Look forward to seeing you there.
Thank you, Peter.
Please be reminded that on Saturday, the 23rd of June, we have garden centres from the south coast, down in Bournemouth, right the way up to Inverness in Scotland, holding a rose festival, with many of them operating a prettiest rose competition. All you've got to do is to cut a rose from your garden, put it in a non-returnable drinks bottle, and toodle off to one of those garden centres, and you could be first prize winner. It's just the prettiest rose. And all of the winners will be photographed and the pictures sent in to Sun Gardening. And we're then going to judge the prettiest rose in Britain with three prizes, £1,000 first, a £500 second, and a £250 third. So come on, have a bit of fun, cut a rose, take it in, and somebody's going to be lucky enough to win, well, at least £1,000. And if they happen to be the winner from one of the Blue Diamond centres, where they're offering £100 at each centre for their prettiest rose, you could win £1,100. This week we've got the trade plant show for all of the horticultural trade up in Stoneleigh. And I'll be going to look at the summer trials in Holland And so we'll have all the latest news of plants to be launched in the next 12 months next week. Thanks again to our sponsor, Sutton Seeds of Torquay. And thanks to you for listening. Enjoy your garden. We'll be back next Thursday. Discover more at sungardening.co.uk.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.